Hey, welcome to the Simply His Coffee Shop, guys. Are you excited for another installation of our Mother's Day special? Yes, we have an incredible guest today. To know her is to love her. If you meet this woman, God's love just pours out of her. She is such an amazing lady, and we're so grateful that she is willing to come and share her story with us because... It's going to be a great show, just to tell you that, because I have known Nancy now for a while, and her story is just amazing. I'll kind of premise some of this. She is a sexual abuse survivor who also lost her son to suicide. She married at a young age and grappled for years with addiction and substance abuse and feeling beyond worthless. A person that felt like she had zero value. But she's here today to share how God brought her face to face with his plan for her. Total restoration, blessing her with an incredible man of God and a brand new life. More than 35 years clean.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Today's guest has not allowed her devastating past to keep her from fulfilling the work that God has created her for. Please welcome Nancy Dickerson. Yeah. So, Nancy, I know you are also a very, very humble person, and so I'm going to brag on you for a minute because... Everyone here at Skywatch TV just adores you and at the ranch. So not only do you give back to your community by working at the Pregnancy Care Center, but you also actually volunteer with mom out at the ranch on occasion, and you pray constantly for us. And we're so happy that you're here today and that you've partnered with us with all of our ministry endeavors that we do here at Skywatch. We're so incredibly proud of you for even being here today. This is going to be a great show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
So, your background, you came from a broken home. How did some of your problems kind of start coming in your trials?
Well, my parents divorced when I was under 2 years old, so I never remember living with my dad. And my mom remarried, and her and my stepfather drank all the time, and they fought, and there was physical abuse that we saw. And my dad's house was like what I would consider a normal house, where they sat at dinner together and stuff. So I figured there was something wrong with me. If I'd just been good enough, then dad wouldn't have left. So even at, I would say, about 4 years old, I began to think if I could just be good enough. Mm. My mom and stepfather divorced when I was 12, and she had to work Saturday nights at a restaurant. She was a waitress, and so my brother began having parties. And if I cleaned up for the party, I got alcohol. So I began drinking.
And you were 12, 13 at this point?
I was 12 when I started drinking, and at 13, he introduced me to marijuana.
Okay.
And I really thought I would... smoke my entire life because it just seemed part of life and the culture I came through. And there was just so much instability. And when I was 14 years old, I told my mom I was going to my friends, and her name was Nancy. And she told her parents she was coming to my house. And we went to this party, and I got raped by a group of men. They were quite a bit older than me. It's like people were at the party and all of a sudden everyone was gone. And one of the men, because I didn't want to do what he wanted me to do, put a gun to my head. And then at that point, you really just do whatever you're asked.
Of course.
But that was between my eighth and ninth grade year. And when I got back to school, it was known. And so...
So you had the humiliation on top of...
Yes, and then I was like the bad girl. And
of course.
So the drug group took me in with no questions asked and accepted me and stuff. But I began a life of promiscuity and just more drugs. And it was just part of life. And I really had wanted to fit in.
Of course, everyone does.
It just, I tried out for a cheerleader and I came short on that. You know, so it was just going into that, and that not good enough feeling was... always yeah. there. And then I ended up getting married when I was 17 to another drug addict.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were 19, we had Seth, my oldest son. And Seth was like the easy baby. And I really loved my children. And even though I, you know, with the drug use, but at 23, I had Eric. And Eric is my wild child. Because he just, you know, you'd say, Eric, you know, stay in there. Mommy's mopping or vacuuming. And he'd be, his foot would just come out.
Uh-huh.
You know, just always, he always pushed the line. But he
yes.
always had the
I
cutest.
I know that feeling.
he had the little dimples and that smile. And so you'd be like, oh, you know, I what do you do? But after that, when I was being a mom, I was working and I ended up getting involved with an older man. And he was a Vietnam veteran. And I thought I could teach him how to love.
Okay, and so you were trying to fix him.
Yeah, I was. You know, if I could just be good enough, I could help him.
Gotcha.
It ended up where I probably learned how to hate because he ended up owning me.
Mm-hmm.
I had to do whatever he said I had to do. And he supplied me with lots and lots of cocaine. And so, again, I even remember my nose just bleeding. I had to stick it in a sink of ice, mm-hmm. you know, but still used.
Mm-hmm.
And even at that time, I began using intravenously with needles
okay.
because he didn't like that. And so I could control that.
Okay.
You know, stupid things we do. I don't even like getting shot, so I don't know how I put needles in my arms, but I did. But so I'm in with him, and I know I'm doing bad as a mom. I know I'm bad. And I know my kids need something better. And so I dropped my boys off with my mom. Her and I weren't getting along. She didn't like how I was being a mother. And we'd had turbulent years when I was a teenager. I knew she loved the boys. I knew
right.
she loved them so I could take them there.
And they were safe there.
And they would be safe mm-hmm. and taken care of. And I was in my car for a week. And I realized, in fact, twice that week I had tried to overdose on pills. Like a jar of Percocet, threw it up.
Your body rejected it.
Yeah.
You tried to overdose?
Yes.
Were you trying to take your life?
I was trying to commit suicide, yes. Because, see, my kids would be better off without me.
Oh, my goodness.
And.
Continue.
Yeah, I just, at that point where I was at, they would have, and I did it again. I tried to overdose, got sick again. Just so I thought, okay, I'm going to rent a room at the
YMCA.
YMCA, because it's a cheap room, because I don't want to be found dead in my car. Now, this is how illogical it is. I'm going to kill myself, so my sons are going to deal with that. But I'm thinking, you know, I don't want some kid to find me in my car. So I got a razor, and I slit my wrist, and I knew I had to do it deeper. Literally, in that little room, it was, remember, Nancy, God loves you. And I heard this, you know.
Wow.
You heard an audible voice.
Yes, and I remembered a week before my sister-in-law, Marie, who was a Christian, mm-hmm. is a Christian still, she had told me that. You got to mm-hmm. remember, Nancy, that God loves you. And so I thought, I can't go on like this. And I did wrap my arm up because it was bleeding and went to sleep. And I'd been asleep all day. So it's amazing that I was able to go to sleep that mm-hmm. night. And the next morning I went to a friend's house that I knew there was no partying,
mm-hmm.
that I knew it would be safe. And I got there and told them that I was trying to commit suicide. And we called the suicide hotline. And they said that I wasn't suicidal at that time. And you know, from 11 p.m. to 9 a.m. But so they couldn't help me. And it was like.
So they have hours that you can call?
Nope. No. They just told me that since I wasn't suicidal at that time, at that moment.
Because she had stopped.
Oh,
and
so now
came.
They can't help her?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because now she's past that moment?
Yes.
Yes. I'm sure it's changed. I know it has because that was really bad. So then I called the hospital and wanted to go into the psych ward.
Right.
And nobody wants to go there on their own. So you knew I knew I needed a safe place yeah. and help. And the hospital said, well, we don't have any room, so you can come and lay in the emergency room until they get an opening. It could be a day or two. In my mind, I'm thinking, what do you mean I'm not suicidal now? Because I'm still feeling pretty shaky. I'd been living in my car for that week, and my brother flew in from Pennsylvania.
Had you called him?
No, no.
He just...
They were looking for me.
Okay.
The family was looking for me. So he came in to... And he's the one who introduced me to drugs. So he...
Felt responsible?
Yes. He'd felt responsible. So I called him, and he came over to this house, mm-hmm. and his wife, Marie, the Christian, heard about a place called Teen Challenge.
Yay, Teen Challenge.
Yeah, in Pennsylvania. She'd heard about it. So we came in, and we called the office, mm-hmm. and I was taken there the next morning, which was June 8th, 1987. And in the office, I accepted Christ. And usually...
While you were at Teen Challenge?
Well, it was just in the office doing an intake thing to see if they could take me.
Oh, wow.
It was in her interview.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
Challenge.
I wanted to go out of town because I wanted away from this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because previously with this guy, I had been pregnant, and he said, if you don't get an abortion, I'll shoot you. And you'll then have an abortion.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I got the abortion and almost died in there because I was higher than a kite when I got it. So I had all that baggage, and I'm coming in and thinking, how can God forgive me?
Yeah.
I can't forgive me.
Right.
And I went in on the Monday.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, they took me in the program, and normally to get into Teen Challenge, it takes longer. And they wanted me to stay in Omaha. My spiritual parents, they were praying. They felt I should stay there for my boys. And Tuesday, I got a physical, and my doctor cried because he'd been my doctor for a while, and he saw the needle marks, and he saw how I had jaundice back. I also had hepatitis C, but they didn't have a name for it then.
Okay.
It was hepatitis, but they didn't have C at that time. So I was pretty sick looking and stuff.
I'm sure.
But I went into the program, and God began to transform my life.
While you were at Teen Challenge.
Yes.
And just very quickly, for people that aren't familiar, that keep hearing the Teen Challenge, it's a Christian mm-hmm. organization that's what they do. They focus on people who need a situation where they can get away from their circumstances, mm-hmm. whether that's an environment of people pushing drugs on them, or maybe they're living on the streets, but they just need a place to go and mm-hmm. experience rehabilitation.
Yeah,
and of course, it's a Christian organization, so they're also teaching about God's purpose for your life, and you're getting all that. But they have counselors that can help you work through some of the nightmares. And as I'm listening to you talk, Nancy, I've known you for years. I don't think I knew 2% of your story, and I'm sitting here thinking, just one of the things that she's described.
Yeah.
One.
Being at a party and being taken advantage of by a group of guys. If your story had stopped there, mm-hmm. it would take most people a lifetime to ever recover from something like that.
Oh my goodness,
right?
Yes.
You didn't even have time to decompartmentalize that straight into one almost emergency crisis, into the next. It is no wonder why you thought, I have to take my life.
Yeah.
Whatever this is not worth sticking around for.
Yeah. And even loving my son so much because of where I was at that time, I was like, they'd be better off
with
someone else because I'm not a good mom. And when I got into Teen Challenge, and they do, it's a Christian discipleship program for mm-hmm. people with life-controlling problems. So they had a classroom, and we'd go down there, God's shown me that I committed murder with my abortion. And my little flag goes up because I'm just like, oh my gosh, how can he forgive this? how can he forgive this? And Clark came over. He was in the classroom, one of the teachers, and he said, what's the problem? And I told him, he goes, okay, let's talk about Paul. Now, Paul, he wrote most of the New Testament, Nancy, but he was killing the Christians.
Yeah.
God used him. He forgave him and used him so he can forgive you and use you. And I was, it was like, okay. So I had that kind of help in that first year. And it was a 13-month program, and my mom had to take care of my boys mm-hmm. for the 13 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. And so I'm so thankful that she was able to help you in
absolutely.
That way. A lot of people might feel like, well, who would take care of my kids if I went into this?
Yeah.
And I'm just glad that you were able to have a place that they could go so that you were free to do what you needed to do. And I'm like, Joe, I only in this week with talking with you have learned a lot of your story. And it just speaks to how effective Teen Challenge's program is. Mm-hmm. And it also
God's redeeming power.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, because he has transformed my life. And during that time, my mom only did it for my boy. She was still livid with me. In fact, she was talking bad to me. And Seth was my protector. And he goes, Grandma, I want you to quit talking bad about my mom.
Oh, wow.
And she was also spanking Eric in not a healthy way. And I had to call my mom and tell her she couldn't do that when she's taking care of my children.
Wow.
My mom's a much stronger personality than me. But I knew I had to.
Right.
Because I would have had to leave. So we ended up, I went to her house one day and I said, I need you to ask your forgiveness. And she's going off and she's starting to list the things. And I said, you're right, Mom. I did all those things. And I can't change it. And I said, but Jesus has forgiven me. And I said, can I have a few minutes? And I went to a bedroom at her house and kneeled down praying because I thought, okay, God, I can't let this come in.
Right.
She has to get it out. I have to allow her that. And I came back to the table and she said, I know God's changed you because you would have never taken it before. You would have fought back.
Right.
Oh, wow.
And I just, and it had to be God that, because everything she said was true and it was hurtful.
Right. And did your children also notice a difference in you?
Oh, yes. In fact, the Lord healed my brain. Like in my first 2 weeks of being at Teen Challenge, we'd had that classroom downstairs and we were down there worshiping God. And when I had done drugs intravenously, my head and my brain hurt. I mean, literally it burned because I was using vast amounts. And I mean, one time literally my body flew across the room and I locked myself in a closet because I was so scared. So, but again, I still kept using. It was such a bondage. But that first couple weeks were in there in my head, it got just warm. I just felt warmth. And I thought, I wonder what's going on. And I'm just loving God. I'm falling in love with Jesus. And I thought, I got to sit down. So I sat down in my chair and knew something was happening. Now, I grew up, we went to weddings and funerals, and that was nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know about healings and stuff. So again, nobody helped me because it was just God and me doing that. So the next week, my son came to visit. My oldest son, Seth, goes, Mom, you're talking better. And I hadn't realized how bad I was talking because of the drugs. You know, continually, I use drugs.
Physically, he couldn't make out what you were saying? Or?
Well, it must have been more jumbled or, you know,
like
it didn't always
make
sense.
Like a lack of coherency or?
Yes, probably, because in that last year, the drug use got even worse.
Mm-hmm.
And God healed my brain, and he noticed, you know.
Yeah.
And then my boys accepted the Lord. So that was very, very joyful, you know, that we'd all become Christians together. You were in the program 13 months, and then you complete it.
Yeah.
And you have a completion dinner. And a church in Kearney, Nebraska adopted me. So they helped me get a house and get a start to get me and the boys back together again and out of Omaha.
What an amazing, amazing program. And that they did that for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the church in Omaha bought me a car.
Oh, wow.
I really was.
Bless
God
you.
Really, really blessed me. It was just amazing. And after you're outside on your own for 12 months, you go in and you graduate. And so I went back and graduated. And that was in 1989. And Roger Helly, who was the director of Teen Challenge, an awesome man of God, we're driving out to dinner, and he's looking at me in the back seat, and goes, "Well, now I'd like you to come work for me." And I'm thinking, "I'll say yes if you turn around, you know, watch the road, Roger." But I did, he scared me. But I went back, I went to work there. So I had lived in Omaha, had been in Kearney, Nebraska. Now I moved to Colfax, Iowa, little town. But they had a big old hotel hospital.
Mm-hmm.
that we'd had for live-in students, and I came and I worked in the office, and I became the bookkeeper, which is a miracle of God that I, who had that incoherency in my brain, could do the books. And they brought in a lot of money. And so, but I loved math, so I loved making sure everything was down to a T. And then I met my husband there, and Wade was a staff member. He'd came from a Christian upbringing his whole life, went to Evangel College and was there. And we met there, and I saw some things happening where I'd asked God, my spiritual mom, Sandra, said, name some things you'd like in a husband. So I wrote them down, and they started happening, and I was like, oh, no, I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready for this. So, but we ended up getting married, and we've been married at this July. It will be 32 years.
Yay.
Wow.
That's wonderful.
It is. And the boys, he adopted them. Like, we were married in July, and he adopted them in November.
And the boys bonded with him then?
Yes. The boys, we gave them the choice to call him dad if they wanted to. And Eric, when we were talking to him and saying we were getting married, he said, Mom, now the kids can't make fun of me because I don't have a dad. And I was
man.
Okay. You know, your heart as a mom breaks because I didn't know that had been happening. And it's probably good because Mama Bear lived in here. She could still come out sometimes. But we began a new life there. In fact, we had like two rooms in this hotel. So I would kneel down and wash my dishes in the tub, if you know, in a micro, because we didn't have a sink in there. I mean, we ended up getting a mobile home, and they ended up putting a sink up there for staff. But, you know, you're very grateful for what you have when you've lived in your car. When you've been at the bottom, it was just...
Anything was a blessing, better than living in your car.
It was. Anything was a blessing.
We are running out of time, unfortunately. But don't worry, Nancy will be back next week to talk to us some more and share more of her story. But Nancy, with just a few more minutes left on the clock, is there any specific thing that you want to tell our viewers?
I would like to talk to the women out there who've grown up with in a house where there's abuse and where you don't see people get along. I mean, all you hear is yelling. That... you'll want to get some godly counsel. Get with a godly older woman to have her help you to learn to agree to disagree. I didn't know that. I didn't know how, because I'm put back in a marriage and I have no idea
what a healthy marriage looks like.
I hadn't seen it. Well, I saw my dad's, but again, when you got one weekend.
Yeah.
And the rest at home that's violent, you don't learn from that. And also, when I was in Teen Challenge, I asked God to pick a husband for me. I said, I've done a really lousy job of picking men, and I need some help. And, you know, he brought Wade into my life, again, who was younger, solid Christian. I would watch him every lunch hour pray for the whole lunch hour for the ministry. And I thought, that's who I want. He's a man after God's own heart.
Yeah, he is.
And
Wade was a very good answer to that prayer.
Yeah.
He's one of my most cherished friends and a total A-plus guy. I mean, just such a wonderful guy. I didn't mean to interrupt, but
no, that's fine.
You're saying you're praying that God will pick your next one. Man, he really did, didn't he?
And do that. Let God pick, ladies, because I work at a pregnancy center, and these girls need a man all the time, and they pick bad men over and over and over again because they don't want to be alone. I didn't mind being alone with the boys. I wasn't in a hurry to get married, even though God brought Wade quicker than I thought.
Quicker than you thought you might be ready for.
That's it.
So you think seasoned women might be able to help guide a younger woman who's kind of coming out of a bunch of brokenness, whose own discernment is still probably fragmented enough that their decision making needs a little support.
Yes, we need the older women in the church need that role to help the younger women, and we need to be available to do that. And also go to a Bible believing church where they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation, mm-hmm. and that's your base. You have to have that, and make sure the man's a Bible-believing man. Don't think you're going to get somebody saved. You're not.
That's very true. So if you have thought about suicide, you're at rock bottom, know that God loves you.
Yes, he does.
What he has done in Nancy's life, he can do for you.
That's right.
We will be back next week with more of Nancy's story. The rest of her story is just as incredible as this first one.
Right.
We will see you next week at the Simply His Coffee Shop. So, Allie, winter is finally coming to an end. I'm so excited. This winter has been just so crazy with all the sickness, and the weather has been super crazy.
Yes, so excited. I'm so glad to see spring come. Oh, can't wait to get my garden going. I love that the landscape is turning green.
Yes.
I'm just so excited that it's spring. When you're through Christmas, I just always want to
fast forward. Because the bad weather usually happens right after that way. So yeah, it's a little bit more crazy. But we have an incredible package for you guys today. Our shirts. We're launching a brand new shirt. And oh my goodness, I am in love with these shirts. No joke. I would be wearing one right now, but they're still on the press. So I don't have my prototype yet. But when I do, I don't think I'll take it off all spring. It is a white Bella Canvas t-shirt. And it's going to have a teal foil Simply His logo on it. And I am so excited. They are just going to be so beautiful.
They are beautiful.
And you're also going to be offering a brand new tea. It is the Mango Tango Tea.
It's delicious. It's light and fruity.
It is.
It's great for spring. You can drink it hot or cold, sweetened or unsweetened. It's just a great tea.
It truly is. You'll enjoy that one, honestly, all year round. And we're also going to be featuring Allie's green mug.
Yay, my green mug.
Yes. We'll also be featuring Sunrise at the Ranch coffee, which is a breakfast blend for our spring package that we're hoping that you'll enjoy. And it's just in time for Mother's Day.
Yes, and the Sunrise on the Ranch is a play on words, S-O-N, Rise on the Ranch, and it is a great Mother's Day present.
It is. It will make a great gift for all the mothers in your life, or get it for yourself and tell your husband, hey, I already bought myself my Mother's Day gift, so, you know, you can do that too.
Yeah, and don't forget that our coffees and teas are organically grown.
Yes, it will retail for $49. Plus shipping and handling. That's a great deal with everything that's coming in this offer. So you need to head over to SkyWatch TV and get your order placed. Buy yours today.